Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. We start on the front page, above the fold, from the Paxton City Council. Backyard chickens back up for debate. County residents ask council to lift effective ban on hens. Paxton. Residents packed the City Council chambers on the second floor of City Hall on Tuesday, April 8th, to request that the Council relax the city rules for backyard chickens. This was the third separate time in 5 years that the controversial topic was broached by members of the public. This time, though, citizens showed up in greater numbers and the Council appeared to be more receptive to change. To see people active in our local government, that's how this thing works, with people coming together, Alderman Matt Greenberg told the crowd on hand after about half an hour of public comments in support of relaxing the regulations for urban chickens. I appreciate you guys being here and everything you guys said. We are definitely listening. Thank you. Alderman Kristen Larson, chairman of the council's community committee, said further talks on the topic will occur during a soon-to-be-scheduled committee meeting. Larson said she supports relaxing the backyard chicken rules, just as she requested the council, to no avail, in October 2020, prior to being elected as alderman. While numerous nearby communities already allow backyard chickens, they can only be kept in Paxton if they are at least 150 feet from any home, church, school, building, or any public way, according to city code, restrictions that make raising them impossible on most residential properties, Larson noted. I don't think it's fair, and it's apparent that there are quite a few residents here interested in changing that, so I think that deserves further analysis and discussion. In urging the council to lift the effective ban on backyard chickens, residents noted that raising urban chickens can have educational value while helping increase self-reliance and reducing families' grocery budgets by providing a source of fresh eggs. Also noted was their value in enriching gardens by fertilizing the soil, plus the companionship they provide as pets. I believe it would be of great benefit to many people in the community, said resident Derek Babs, who has established a Facebook group called Paxton Citizens for Chickens and has been encouraging residents to sign a petition, available at Paxton Hardware and Rental, to try to get backyard chickens in Paxton. Babs' petition is not the same one that was circulated back in fall 2022 by resident Rachel Crutcher, although it does seek the same result. Crutcher's petition at one point contained nearly 100 signatures from residents of each of the city's four wards, all in favor of allowing backyard chickens. Crutcher attended several council meetings in 2022 to request that the city's annual animal ordinance be revised to allow chickens to be kept in backyards as long as they are at least 25 feet away from any neighboring residence. At the time, Crutcher also suggested additional safeguards, including requiring permits to be obtained from the city, limiting hens on each property to 6 total, while restricting roosters and keeping all of the hens in a coop or run at all times. In October 2022, however, Alderman took a straw poll showing a lack of support for further discussion on the topic, as 5 of 8 indicated they were not interested. While the possibility of having a non-binding referendum placed on a future election ballot was suggested, no action was ever taken. Crutcher asked the council to reconsider its stance last week. Crutcher, who shared that she has stage 4 cancer and is undergoing continuous chemotherapy and radiation treatments, noted the potential benefit of fresh eggs to the health of herself and her family. There's a great deal of speculation about all the chemicals we have in our food, Crutcher said. So we're trying, as a family, to eat very clean, organic foods, being able to have backyard chickens where we can ensure what they're eating, what they're consuming, and ensure a healthy egg would be beneficial. Having backyard chickens would afford us the opportunity to know what our chickens are consuming and ensure the best possible health of the eggs that we consume. Resident Connie Deich said backyard chickens could help residents slash their grocery costs too, noting the high costs of eggs in stores these days. It would be awesome not to have to pay for eggs because we're consuming 4 or 5 eggs a day in our household, Deich said. In addition, Croucher said allowing backyard chickens would make Paxton a more welcoming place and forward-thinking place to be. It's a good selling point for new residents, added resident Selena O'Banion. O'Banion noted as well that chickens can be used for educational enrichment and for kids' 4-H project. Resident Brianna Jackson Cunningham said she feels that hens would be no more of a nuisance to residents than any dog or cat already in town. They're no louder than dogs barking, or no more annoying than the millions of stray cats running around, killing all our plants, she said. Resident Seth Anders said he supports allowing backyard chickens, even though he does not plan to have any of his own. Anders suggested allowing a limited number of hens per property, perhaps up to 6. Resident Rebecca Rutledge asked what controls would be put in place by the city to address any influx in raccoons, skunks, and foxes that might result from backyard chickens being allowed in town. In response, Larson said that if backyard chickens were to be allowed, she would recommend that the city require that they be kept within a fully enclosed coop and run within a fully fenced-in yard to prevent access by such predators. They would not be able to get in if done properly, Larson said, who had her own backyard chickens when she lived in another city. And chickens are not going to be running around the town. They would stay in people's yards. Rutledge also asked what controls could be put in place to ensure chicken coops would be kept clean. Larson, in response, noted that cleanup would be required by ordinance. Everybody here, I think, shares that concern, Larson said. We want things to stay clean. Rutledge then asked whether there would be any plans to address the potential unwanted leaching of chicken waste into neighboring properties. With only several chickens allowed per property, Larson said, it would not cause the production of enough microbial waste to make much of a difference. If this were a commercial production facility with 100,000 birds, that would be different, obviously, said Larson, who was employed as a professor of biology. With 6 to 8 birds in someone's yard, it's not a concern. Before Rutledge could ask another question, Mayor Bill Ingold advised her that this was not a time for questions, but instead comments. Greenberg then told Rutledge, "Your questions are valid. I think maybe just email us your questions, and those are things we'll talk about in upcoming committee meetings. I don't want you to feel like we're blowing you off. It is of value." Besides Greenberg and Larson, present at last week's council meeting were Alderman Eric Evans, Dean Geiken, Joe Reinhardt, Mike Wilson, and Justin Withers. Absent was Rob Pacey. Now, another story we've been following here with the Ford County Chronicle. Iroquois County Highway 10 at Bales Lake. Waiting game. Wait continues for safety improvements along County Highway at Bales Lake. Watsika. Another meeting of the Iroquois County Board's Transportation and Highway Committee came and went on Thursday, April 3rd, with still no decision on whether to apply for a state grant to fund the installation of guardrails or other safety improvements along a dangerous stretch of County Highway 10 at Bales Lake. With the grant application period approaching for the Illinois Department of Transportation's Highway Safety Improvement Program, expected to run from early May to mid-June, there is still no indication the county will even apply. Despite repeated pleas from public to make immediate safety improvements to the county highway at Bales Lake, and despite the apparent danger that exists there following two crashes within barely over a year involving vehicles that went off the highway and crashed, unobstructed into the lake's frigid waters, resulting in one drowning, county officials have not yet committed to addressing the problem in any way, whether through the installation of guardrails where they are lacking or through some other type of barrier there. Some have even suggested the problem is not the county's responsibility to address, but rather the Bales Lake Homeowners Association. The Transportation and Highway Committee's chairman, Charles Ault of rural Cisna Park, said last month that state's attorney Mike Quinlan raised an issue about the subdivision's potential responsibility and was looking into the matter, telling Ault not to move forward with anything until his review was complete. Quinlan has not been present for the committee meetings in recent months, and he did not immediately respond to messages left via email with the secretary at his office requesting comment. Iroquois County Highway Engineer Alan Harwood confirmed this week that the committee and himself were still waiting to hear from Quinlan. "There's been no further discussion," Harwood said in an email, "as the committee is awaiting counsel from the state's attorney." In January, Harwood said Quinlan's predecessor, former state's attorney Jim Devine, had advised that the county is not legally responsible for protecting drivers from hazards located outside the county's right-of-way, in this case, the lake. Since County Highway 10 is owned and maintained by the county, however, president of the Bales Lake Homeowners Association, William Dick, said he believes there should be no question that the county, not the Homeowners Association, is the one entity responsible for keeping the road safe. "We were startled to hear that the county would think that the Bales Lake HOA, a neighborhood, should in any way financially support that project," Dick said last month. "We were startled to think that we had any responsibility for that road at all." Illinois Department of Transportation spokesman Paul Wapple noted in January that the county, not the Homeowners Association, would need to be the entity to apply for a grant through IDOT's Highway Safety Improvement Program. "If asked," Dick said, "he personally would be happy to help the county's highway department write the grant application," noting he fully supports the project, but he noted that even so, "it's not my responsibility to do it. We are willing to help to write the application if that is useful to the county, but we cannot be responsible for a major county road," said Dick, who retired from a 30-year career as Assistant Dean for Research at the College of Engineering at the University of Illinois. Topic of County Highway 10 was listed under the public comments portion of the April 3rd meeting's agenda. The only person to comment was the committee's vice chairman, Jody Munsterman, who offered to share pictures she took of the highway where it bisects Bales Lake. Now another story from the Paxton City Council. Paxton Kirby Foods plans to expand store, start selling beer, wine, and liquor. Council adds liquor license to accommodate those plans. Paxton. Paxton City Council on Tuesday, April 8th, unanimously approved increasing the city's number of available Class B liquor licenses by one to accommodate Paxton Kirby Foods' plan to begin selling packaged liquor, including beer, wine, and hard alcohol. The grocery store at 144 West Pell Street, which was known as the Paxton IGA prior to its sale to Kirby Foods Incorporated last month, is expected to soon be expanded to the east towards its parking lot to create a separate space to display packaged liquor for sale. "We are in the process right now of working with architects to see what we can do to expand the building out, which would then give us the real estate which we could provide a section for liquor and beer," said the store's manager, Darren Horton of Hoopston, who was accompanied at last week's meeting by assistant manager Chandra Glad of Paxton. Glad noticed that Champaign-based Kirby Foods' 16 other stores all carry alcohol. "It's always off to the side for those who are specifically looking for it," Glad said. There are now 8 Class B licenses available in Paxton. While the grocery store will be undergoing major renovations this year, with painters set to arrive next week and construction activities starting this summer, Alderman Eric Evans thanked Kirby Foods for buying the IGA and keeping the town's grocery store in operation following the retirement of longtime IGA owners Craig and Candy Reeks of Lake Iroquois. Paxton could easily have been without a grocery store, Evans noted. I don't think a lot of people realize that and how valuable the grocery store is to Paxton. Also during its April 8th meeting, the council denied a request from Kelly Breimeyer and her mother Susie to increase the number of available Class C liquor licenses by one to accommodate their plans to open a gambling parlor with another family member, Lisa Marlar, at 107 East Center Street in the downtown. In addition to having six video gambling machines, Kelly Breimeyer said the gambling parlor would serve drinks and food that is different than what is being currently offered by other local eateries. Before the vote, Alderman Joe Reinhart said he was not in favor of bringing more gambling parlors to town, which already has several places to play slots. Joining Reinhart in opposition to the proposal were Alderman Dean Gyken, Matt Greenberg, and Kristen Larson. Voting in favor were Alderman Eric Evans, Mike Wilson, and Justin Withers, with Alderman Rob Pacey absent. The number of Class C liquor licenses available remains at 9. And now from the Buckley Village Board. Smelly water draws 24 to board meeting. Residents want strong chlorine smell in village's water addressed. Buckley. Some 25 residents attended the Buckley Village Board's April 7th meeting to voice strong concerns about a strong chlorine smell in the town's water. Resident Jim Bulk questioned whether the village should proceed with the planned construction of a sanitary sewer system and treatment plant at a time when the water system issues still need addressed, including the replacement of aging water lines. Balk said he disagreed with the addition of debt service fee on residents' water bills to help pay for the proposed sewer project. Others noted that the additional fee remains in effect, even though the project may not even happen due to a shortage of funds to pay for it. Village leaders continue to look into additional funding sources for the project after the lowest bids came in at $17 million. $12 million more than the $5 million in available grant money the village has been awarded by the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency. Some $800,000 in grant money has already been expended. Kira Ebert, Chief of Staff for State Senator Chris Balkema, Republican of Shannonon, said Balkema is looking into other funding sources for the project and offered further assistance. As for the strong chlorine smell, residents complained that they cannot even drink the water, and some said they will not even cook with it or allow their pets to drink it. Some even complained of brown-colored water. However, ERH Enterprises Incorporated employee Phil Billar, who operates Buckley's water plant, said the chlorine's level appeared fine the day after a WCIA Channel 3 news report on the water situation. If the chlorine results were any closer, he said, they would be perfect. John McBride, owner of ERH, and Delar both reminded residents that they are mandated to maintain a certain level of chlorine in the water. We strive daily to produce the best quality water to all the customers of the villages we work for, and best quality wastewater effluent to protect the environment around the villages we also work for, McBride said in a letter to residents. We will no longer stand for any adverse comments on Facebook, the news, or other sources of media without reliable evidence, and anyone making such comments will be held accountable. In other businesses, the board voted unanimously to approve a 3% pay raise for each of the village's two employees, and the board reminded the public that Buckley's townwide garage sales will be Friday, April 25th and Saturday, April 26th, and that the village trash days are from 4 to 6 p.m. Friday, May 2nd, and 8 a.m. to noon Saturday, May 3rd. There are only two obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for the week of April 16th. First, Rachel Dreher Ford, Paxton. Rachel Elizabeth Dreher Ford, 49, died in the early morning hours of Tuesday, April 10th, at her home, with her husband at her side. A celebration of her life was held Monday, April 14th, at the Upper Room Bible Church in Paxton. Memorial contributions may be made to the family. Nelda J. Jordan, Gibson City. Nelda J. Jordan, 91, of Gibson City, died at 11:41 p.m. Saturday, April 12th, at the Gibson Area Hospital Annex in Gibson City. Funeral services were held at 11 a.m. Friday, April 18th, at the Gibson City United Methodist Church. Burial followed at Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorial contributions may be made to the Nelda Jordan Beautification Fund for welcome sign upgrades and industrial park sign lighting. We'll turn back to the news on Go Back to the Front Page with a story from the Ford County Board. Board questions validity of agreement signed with IDNR. Chairman, no evidence. Board approved it. Paxton. County board members are questioning the validity of a two-year-old lease agreement between Ford County and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources that authorized the enrollment of a county-owned farm into the IDNR's Illinois Recreational Access Program. The agreement's validity was called into question during Monday night's board meeting when Chairman Chase McCall noted that he could find no mention in past meeting minutes of the board ever having approved the lease, nor any other board members who could recall such action. Is this IRAP agreement legitimate? Is it not legitimate? McCall asked his colleagues. A copy of the lease agreement obtained from the IDNR showed that it was signed by the board's then chairman, Debbie Smith of Paxton, on June 12, 2023, and Natalie Finney, the IDNR's director, on July 25, 2023. The agreement, which was due to terminate on December 31, 2026, authorized the Hatfield-Bowen Farm in Button Township to be leased to the IDNR for its enrollment into the IROP program, which provides IDNR-approved hunters access to the land for various hunting and recreational activities, including youth firearm deer hunting season in early October, an archery deer hunting season for adults and youth in late October and late December. Hunters allowed to use the site are selected via an annual IDNR lottery. While an agreement for the land's enrollment into IRAP was discussed repeatedly prior to Smith signing this agreement in the summer of 2023, McCall said he cannot recall the board ever having authorized Smith to do so. I know we had talked through the course of 2022, 2023, and 2024 about hunting that ground, McCall said, but what I don't recall and couldn't find any evidence of through the meeting minutes of county board meetings in 2022, 2023, and 2024 was that this intergovernmental agreement was brought to the board for review. Meanwhile, board member Cindy Erke of Earl Roberts said she was sure the board approved the entering into the agreement. I have a clear memory, Erke said. We took the vote. It wasn't an unanimous vote, but I know it passed because Smith wouldn't have signed it if it didn't. I clearly remember doing it. Erke said she thought the approval occurred in April 2023. However, the meeting's minutes did not reflect that. I think this is a perfect example why we need to be recording our meetings, Erke said. To resolve the confusion, Erke made a motion, seconded by board member Tim Nuss of Earl Roberts, to validate the original agreement. Erkey earlier made a motion to extend the agreement and allow youth pheasant hunting on the land, but she ended up amending her motion to seek instead to validate the original agreement after State's Attorney Andrew Killian advised that it could not be extended with its validity still in question. The motion to validate the agreement failed via a 4-4 vote. Erkey and Nuss were joined by board members Garrett Kerber of Gibson City and Tom McQuinn of rural Paxton voting yes, while no votes were cast by McCall and board members Carson Vaughn of Paxton, Kelsey Vaughn of Paxton, and Greg Niewald of rural Loda. Absent were board members Jean May of Paxton, Randy Ferguson of Gibson City, Sarah Mussman of Gibson City, and Leslie King of Piper City. Now we have a story from Gibson City, from the Gibson City Pool Board. Gibson City Pool set to open at end of May. Hiring of two assistant pool managers okayed. Gibson City. Gibson City's public swimming pool is tentatively scheduled to open for the summer on Saturday, May 31st. During its meeting Tuesday, April 8th at City Hall, the city's pool board set the opening date for the pool located at 600 North Lot Boulevard in the North Park. The board also approved the hiring of two assistant pool managers, Rachel Dewey and Casey McCullough, to manage together the pool's day-to-day operations. Two assistant managers is the best idea, said Randy Ferguson, who will continue as pool manager. That way they can have a life outside the pool. They will work out their hours amongst themselves. Ferguson said preparation work continues to get the pool ready for opening day. He said that all necessary materials, including paint and chemicals, have arrived. He said the concrete will be assessed for damaged and repaired, including the repair of a hole discovered last year that is likely contributing to the recurring water leakage of up to 10,000 gallons per day when the pool is operating. Ferguson said he also will be emptying the diving pool and painting it in the first week of May before replacing damaged drain covers. Once the repairs and painting are completed, it is expected to take 3.5 days for the pool to be filled. Meanwhile, board member Jamie Summers said she would be actively advertising for the hiring of lifeguards and planned to update the pool's Facebook page with details. Board plans to gather more information before setting lifeguard wages during its next meeting on Thursday, May 8th. The board also discussed the setting of lifeguard classes. Currently, the city pays the $175 cost of each new lifeguard certification training held at the YMCA in Champaign. Returning lifeguards will also have their recertification fees, which are lower in cost, paid by the city. Ferguson noted that the lifeguard training for Gibson City's pool is slightly more difficult for some of the other pools. Ferguson said some Gibson City lifeguard candidates are unable to pass the final test, which involves retrieving a brick from the bottom of the 16-foot diving pool at a much greater depth than most pools in the area. And that's all the time we have for today's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.